Turn your Bibles again to Revelation chapter 3. I'll be dealing with the first six verses. When I read these verses concerning this church, the question came to my mind, what was the sin that they were being charged with? It mentions nothing of the followers of the Nicolaitans, or even the followers of Baal or Jezebel. Nothing of false doctrines had been mentioned, even though they were denounced in other letters, yet this charge was not brought against this church. They may even been grateful to God that they were not like the other churches that followed the doctrines of the Nicolaitans, of Baal, of Jezebel. Nor was they charged of doing nothing. This church was an industrious church. They had a reputation and an honorable character as a living church. Laodicea deceived herself in thinking that she was rich. It's not said that she deceived others. She only deceived herself. But now this church at Sardis did deceive others. She was reckoned by them to be really alive, though in fact she was dead. So with that thought in mind, I'm believing that she deceived her own self also. Their works were not perfect before God. They were done as were the prayers and alms and fastings of the hypocrite, to be seen of men. They had their reward. People talked well of them, gave them credit as having life, but before God, they were dead. Let us remember that it is before God that everything is determined. Let all who engage in any form of Christian service remember this. The one question for all of us is, how will our work appear before God? Men may commend you for your works, but will it pass the smell test in heaven? The verse I want to look at next is verse 4, which says, "You have a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." I want to draw your attention back to the word "even in Sardis." You have a few names, even in Sardis. Really? Can you believe that? In a church that is pronounced dead, led by a pastor who was told that he was dead, even in these circumstances, there was a few spiritual among them, a few sincere among the hypocrites. There was a few humble among the proud, a few who lived holy and righteous among the worldly. God has always had a few. In Elijah's day, when he thought that he was the only one that lived for God, that worshiped God, that believed that he was the God that answered by fire, God reminded him, "I have a few, 7,000 even, that have never bowed their knee to Baal." Even in Sodom and Gomorrah, as wicked as they were, God had a few righteous people there. The Bible tells me that Lot's righteous soul was vexed, listening to all the things that were going on in that city. You can live a righteous and holy life in the midst of sin. You can live a life in the midst of atheism. You may ask, how could they do this? Jesus gives us the answer. He says, "I am walking in the midst of the seven churches." Jesus was in the midst of this dead church. That's why he knew there were some there that still loved him, that was still dedicated to him. Church member, Your church may be dead, but you can still live holy. Your church may be worldly, but you can still live a separated life. You don't have to go along with the crowd. You just stand fast in your faith to God. Let others choose their path, but as far as you and your house, serve the Lord. You remember the story in Daniel when everybody was bowing down to the golden image, all but a few that stood up to the king and said, "No matter what, we will not worship your idol." Friend, I would like to say, if you have found yourself in a dead church and you are still worshiping God, living a separated life, living a life that's pleasing unto God, just keep on doing what you're doing. Because you know what? You may be the only source of revival for this church. You may be their last hope. If you would just walk away and leave them, would they have any hope at all? Even though you may be a thorn in their side, you stay there until God moves you. I believe that these few that was in the church at Sardis was like a thorn in the side of those that were dead. I believe that they were like a thorn in the side of the pastor who was dead. It may have been as he was preaching on the Lord's day, that when he said something that was right, something that corresponded to the word of God, I think they may have said, "Amen, pastor, keep preaching that." And when the pastor would celebrate Labor Day and have all the union leaders into the church and the mayor of Sardis into the church, no doubt he was hoping that one of those live wires would not embarrass him. He no doubt was hoping that none of those would stand up and give out a message in tongue, and another one stand up and interpret the tongues. He was hoping that nothing like this would go on this special day. I remember a pastor friend of mine. He told me that every year they have a great celebration, a celebration for all the lawmen in the city. And they were invited to the church, and a place was prepared for them on the platform. The mayor was invited even to give a speech. And he said, "I was hoping that Sister Margaret wouldn't get into one of those Pentecostal moves and start shuffling across the front of the church." He said, "She was too old to do that dance, but she could still do that Pentecostal shuffle." He said, "I was hoping that that wouldn't happen. But you know, sure as I'm standing here, when the choir was singing and the spirit began to fall, here comes this dear sister with that Pentecostal shuffle all across the front." He said, I was a little embarrassed. But he said, "You know, after church, the mayor said to me, 'Pastor, I enjoyed this service today. It was refreshing to see people openly worship God.'" And when the little sister shuffled across the front, he said, "I could feel something that I had not felt in a long time." What am I saying? I'm saying that those few may be the answer to the revival in the church at Sardis. Those few in your church may be the answer to revival in your church. So, preacher, don't run them off. Indulge them until God can deal with others. I'm going to stop the lesson right here, but let me say this. I've seen churches, Pentecostal churches, churches that claim to be filled with the Holy Spirit, who had a reputation that they were alive, but most were dead. But there was a few who were live wires in the church. They did not give up on those who were spiritually dead. or who had been lulled into a state of sleep. They just kept on praying, sometimes for months and months. But eventually, God answered their prayer. Others began to respond to the Holy Spirit, and the church saw a great revival. Don't give up. Keep on praying and fasting and seeking God for revival in your church.